a.m. Chicago.
720 WGN. Chicago. This is the Pete McMurray Show.
Pete McMurray in for Bill and Wendy. They're back on Monday. When the Ferguson rulings came down, we were live on the air at night. Our show usually runs from 7 until 11. Last night, more protests happening. We wanted to hear from a protester because we've talked about it on the night show that we support free speech. We support the right for people to protest. And we wanted to get a protester in studio today. And we found one on Twitter. In studio with us is Christopher Audain. Thank you for coming in, first of all.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here, and I'm glad to connect with you guys today on the radio.
Did you protest yesterday?
I protested yesterday. I'm going to back up just a little bit. On Wednesday, when I heard that they weren't going to indict the cop that gave a chokehold to Eric Garner, it was, you know, it was the middle of the day, middle of the afternoon, and I was devastated, and I couldn't do any more work at my desk. I closed the door to my office, and I cried, and I didn't know what to do. And my first response was to go onto Twitter, and I was looking for protests, because I know that's where protests, that's where you find them.
Because you want to express your feelings somehow.
I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something, and I couldn't find anything, and so I went home, pretty sad, and I was in the car. I was thinking to myself, listening to NPR, and I, when I got home, what I read was Barack Obama's A More Perfect Union speech. And he gave this in March in 2008, and I would recommend everyone go and look at that, because it's a really important speech on race in America. And it's pretty fascinating to think about where we were in 2008 and the hope that we had as a country for being better, and where that's gone now. I woke up the next day, but when I was on...
So this is Thursday morning you woke up.
This is Thursday morning.
Okay.
I woke up, but on Wednesday night, I found that there were protests Thursday evening, and I saw that there was a...
You find those on social media. On Twitter for people that are protesting, and that's...
I hashtagged Chicago Eric Garner in protest.
Okay.
And I searched for that way. And then I found that there were protests at noon at the University of Chicago, where I work, and at 5 p.m. downtown.
Okay.
At noon, I did a die-in in front of the Regenstein Library at the University of Chicago, and it was organized mostly by students, I believe.
What is a die-in? Are you just laying on the ground?
A die-in, we lie down for 11 minutes in the entrance to represent the 11 times that Eric Garner said, "I can't breathe."
Okay.
And it was pretty powerful. And it... it's devastating to be there and to be lying in that moment and to know that you're here today and someone else isn't. And why? Like, why isn't he here today? Why is his life gone? What did he do to deserve for his presence on earth to be gone? You know, this is I don't remember how exactly how old he is. I think he's a 43-year-old man. And, you know, he played Santa Claus for his kids and his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And he's gone. But why?
So you decided, did you take off work on Thursday?
I did not, because I probably would have, but the protest was where I work. I live in Humboldt Park, and the protest was at the University of Chicago.
Okay.
So I lost half the day on Wednesday being upset. So I was like, well, let me go in and see how much I can get done, and then at noon I get to raise my voice. And then I did that, and... it was a very powerful moment because you're surrounded by people who don't know what to do.
They're passionate and they want to express their feelings in some way. Now, hold that thought. I'm going to check traffic real quick, and I'm going to ask you about last night, because we saw the protesters as they were chanting and running down Michigan Avenue in front of the window. I want to ask you about that group from last night, too. We have a protester in studio. His name is Christopher Audain.
How soon can we go on the air?
McMurray, the Pete McMurray Show, right now on 720 WGN.
Protests happening downtown. We wanted to get a protester in studio, and we found him on Twitter, and he was gracious enough to come in and tell his side of the story. Christopher Audain in studio. And I do need to mention, I want people to be open-minded, because we mentioned this earlier. We promoted that you were going to be on the show because we wanted to hear your side. I want people to be open-minded. Immediately, when you mention the word protest, they go negative. let's keep an open mind here because we're a country of free speech. And Chris, thank you for coming in.
Sure, Pete. Thanks for having me.
I know you're probably going to get beat up on Twitter and some of our text messages, but let's get back to the protests last night. You guys started on Jackson and you moved your way north. How far did you go and how long? It started at 5 o'clock yesterday. Is that right?
Yeah, it started at 5. I got down at about 5:15, and the group was already starting to move. And I found a parking spot nearby with my car, which was fortunate in the city downtown. And I marched along, and when we got toward Michigan Avenue, and we were just south of here, the police officers wouldn't let us through at that point. And besides having the emotion and chanting Eric Garner, Mike Brown, chanting their names, and chanting whose streets, our streets, and the emotion that comes with that, and the feeling, the cathartic feeling of release. Along with that, I became really frustrated when the police wouldn't let us through Michigan Avenue, right across from Cloud Gate. And I don't understand,
Were you trying to block traffic? Is that what was going on Michigan Avenue?
I wasn't in the front, so I'm not sure. I know that some of the protesters made it across, and I didn't. And then I approached an officer, and I said, "Officer, may I please step through? May I please step through?" And he said, "Yes, yes, you can." And I stepped through, but, I was just one of hundreds of people that couldn't get through at that point.
There was an estimate at one point there was 1,000 people that were protesting last night. And what we saw outside the window here on Michigan Avenue was a police escort. We saw an organized protest, no one getting violent. We mm-hmm. saw the police on bikes mm-hmm. and segways as you were moving down Michigan Avenue. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, were you there when they hit Lakeshore Drive and they blocked off Lakeshore Drive?
I wasn't there at that point. I stopped at around 7 because I did, the hour earlier at noon and at the hour later. Let me say another thing. The protest that I did at noon, the cops that were there were a helpful presence. We were standing at the intersection at 55th and Woodlawn at noon, 12:30, and they let us do it. There were buses that were lined up, and they let us lie on the street, and they let us have a moment to express our frustrations. And so you said that people have a negative reaction to me being a protester. I'm not here to be negative. I'm here to think about how to solve some of these problems. And when I'm out protesting and I am, releasing this energy, it's because there's something wrong. And this is the first step of action. Democracy only changes if people get up and do something. And this is what I thought I could get up and do. When I was out in the street yesterday and I was, holding up traffic, I thought for a second, this is really inconveniencing people. And then I thought, What is an hour out of your day? Who's more inconvenienced? The people that are living in fear, the people that don't have any opportunity, I think that I have so much privilege myself.
We're built on a nation of free speech. If mm-hmm. people didn't protest in the 60s, we wouldn't see changes today.
Right.
And as the Ferguson protests happened, they talked about cameras on police officers. That's going to expedite the process. One of the things that people, when they think of protesters, as you were talking about emotion as you march, sometimes, and it hasn't happened in Chicago, sometimes these get violent because they don't know what to do with these types of emotions. And if police officers are there, they will say things to police officers to get them riled up.
There's a Martin Luther King quote, and I'm sure a lot of people have already heard it. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. If you haven't experienced, if you're sitting on one side and you're not the person that's living through injustice, there's not a medium to understand their feelings. I do not agree with violence. I do not agree with riots. I do not agree with that. I do agree with people getting up, going outside and saying this is wrong and we have to do something today.
What is the next step after all the protests? What is the next step?
It starts with the protests, and the protests alone won't bring about change, but every elected official is watching, and the whole world is watching people, and they're watching our country. The world is watching America because we have a responsibility to do something, to be better. And we paint this this rhetoric of a great nation, but can we get there? Can we build a more perfect union? Well, it starts with us participating, voter turnout. So your question, the first part is to do something is to get up and go out and protest. Those strength in numbers really mean something. We are the people. We are the police. We are the government.
So you're hoping to continue to protest, to react, to maybe get a politician to do something?
Yeah. I'm a little nervous, and so I'm forgetting his name. The mayor of New York who responded.
De Blasio.
Thank you.
De Blasio. His rhetoric was built on the words of the protesters. You know, that language was the same language. So the protesters are being heard. And so the second part is voting. We need to make sure that we go out and vote. You know, I can't stress this enough, but it's not rational to complain about a system not working if you're not working the system. Sure. Yeah.
Chris, I got to take a break. Okay. We're going to check bottom of the hour news. And I want to get to some of these calls too. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
Is that all right?
Sure.
And if people want to look you up on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
CMMAUDAIN.
And thank you again. Are you relaxed now? Thank you for coming in.
I wouldn't say I was relaxed, but I'm doing okay.
We're getting both sides here, man. We're getting both sides. It's 720 WGN. Chris Audain in studio with us. He's one of the protesters that has been expressing himself downtown at 720 WGN.
Quiet, everybody. Quiet in the studio, please.
We're speaking to you today on WGN Radio.
This is the Pete McMurray Show on 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios, 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy are back on Monday in studio with us. We have a protester, Christopher Audain. Thank you again for coming in. I know you were nervous, and
I'm still a little nervous.
When you mention protest or protesters, people react right away. Yeah, it's very polarizing. So, are you going to be protesting this weekend?
I'll be out this weekend. I'll find some time to get out there. It's important to not lose momentum. When I realized that I needed to do something, My fear, even in the moments where I'm most passionate, is that passion's going to die out and I'm going to stop doing it. So I challenge myself to find a way to keep doing something. And that's why when I was asked today if I would come on, I was hesitant and I was, you know, a little scared, but I couldn't say no. It's my responsibility to do this.
And just to let people know, we found you on Twitter.
Right,
that's how
right.
We found you. And the pictures are up there. And if people want to follow you, go ahead and give your handle again.
CMMAUDAIN.
Okay. I want to get some of these callers in. Will, you're on WGN. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, Peter.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, sorry, I'm at work. My only comment or concern, and I don't want to sound all like crazy or whatever, this guy must cry a lot. And I'm not trying to be an a-hole or anything.
He must what?
I'm not trying. He must cry a lot, and I'm not trying to, you know, pick a fight or anything.
Where do you get that idea from? I cried one moment, and you're saying that I probably cried.
Right. Well, a guy was choked out and killed by the police. It's a horrible, tragic event. In the last decade, in the three wars that the United States has fought, you know, what is it? 2,000 to 3,000. I'm at work, so I don't have the exact number.
Sure.
But
I can already see where you're going. The point you're trying to make is that a lot of bad things happen, so I'm crying all the time. You know, my response to that is, what does it take to make someone respond? Why did, you know, I have the same question. Why don't more people respond when all these things are happening? What is it that tips us over the edge and says, you know what, this is enough? And for whatever reason, this was my moment that I said, I have to do something.
Everybody has a moment. Robert, you're on WGN. What's your point?
Hey, Chris. Got a question for you. First of all, I appreciate you, taking your right to protest and all that peacefully. Just want to ask you, given the situation, the guy was breaking the law, basically, a big guy. What do you think the cops should have done to restrain him?
Sure. So, you know, this is there are a lot of crimes that happen in the world, in the United States and in the world. I have some statistics here. In the United States, 461 people are killed from police shootings. In Germany, 8. In Britain, 0. In Japan, 0. So there are lots of things you can do to restrain someone without shooting them multiple times in the chest, multiple times in the head.
I'm asking you about this specific situation, though.
He's talking about
I have done.
This Eric
specific
Garner.
Situation
in New York.
So there are two things. One, there's conflicting reports on what happened. we'll never know what happened that night. You know, there's the cop side and there's other sides.
No,
we'll never...
he's talking about New York. With
New
the,
York.
With, yes, with Eric Garner.
Oh, have you watched the video?
The video. Is that what you're talking about, Robert?
I'm asking you, what do you think the police guy should have done?
In the Eric Garner situation?
Yes.
Committing a crime. He was a criminal. The cop had a job to do. He
sure.
needed to arrest him.
My,
I resisted. What should he have done?
My response to that is there are two responses. So one is that we have video footage of someone being choked and strangled to death. And so there's we have a justice system in this country. And when you commit a crime, your punishment is not to be choked and strangled on the street. So, okay,
and then let me just walked away to cop. What should he have done?
And then let
he
me finish.
Just walked away in your opinion?
All right, hold on, Robert.
Asking, what should he have done?
Let him go.
Did you see the video? Did you look at the video and does it appear that any cop is in danger in that video?
I saw a criminal who was very large.
But did you answer my question?
Dude and resisting.
But did you answer my question?
What should have been done?
They could have handcuffed him without strangling him. You know,
he was resisting. His hands were moving. What should he have done?
They could have grabbed his hands and handcuffed him.
Was more civil.
They could have grabbed his hands and handcuffed him. Do you know what it's like?
I'm sure they tried. If he was more civil, he would not have been in that situation. So I'm asking you again, if someone's uncivil, what should the police do?
I know that in New York, by policy, you cannot chokehold people. You cannot put them in chokeholds. And I know that there are ways to subdue individuals without strangling them to death. And I understand that
he got killed, but I mean...
In broad daylight. And I understand...
I'm hearing from you what the guy should have done. What should the cop have done?
I gave you an option. I'm not a professional on police policy.
No
That's
option.
Not my job.
You
can handcuff them. And I'm telling you, there are lots of people. There are lots of people that resist arrest and they're not strangled to death. You know, there are people that have shot up a movie theater and they're subdued. There are people that have bombed the Boston Marathon. They're subdued without being killed. So there are ways to do this. It happens all the time.
Robert, we got to move on. Thank you for calling 312-981-7200. Chris, I know you're very passionate about this and I appreciate you coming in. We got about a minute left. Do you want to do a call or do you want to say anything about the protests? And you protest last night. You're going to be protesting this weekend. You're very passionate about this. You want to see some change.
Sure.
That's why we have free speech in this country.
I'm going to take the minute and make some comments. You know, this is a race issue. But it's mostly and more importantly an issue of humanism. Everyone deserves the chance to live. If we sit idle and do nothing, we'll completely lose the essence of America that's already begun to slip away. The hope that we can become a more perfect union. We are all people and we all want the same thing. We all want a chance at a prosperous, meaningful life. We all want a chance to live. I've got this thing. You don't want me to read it, but I'm gonna go for it. can I do it? Let me. All right.
What do you have over there? Okay. I don't know what you have.
It's just about justice.
All right.
Okay. It's an analogy I'm working on about justice.
You got about 20 seconds, and we got to go into traffic.
I got it. Justice is a ship. Justice is an old wooden ship that was built with the blood, sweat, and tears of any group, of anyone that has been oppressed. Now, justice set sail a long time ago, and it's out to sea. And there are holes in justice. Tiny holes, big holes, a lot of holes. And the only way that justice can come home is if we fill those holes. If we work together, get down on our hands and knees and do our part. If we grab a pail, a bucket, dump out the water. If we bring together our talents to solve the problems with justice, then, and only then, can justice come ashore.
Christopher Audet, I applaud your passion. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks
I know it
so
was
much.
Tough, and I appreciate it.